Okay. Let us pray to give the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with this day. Thank you for the message that you have given me, and thank you for cutting the hearts in this room as well as online with a desire to hear the truth. Thank you for letting your words come forth, Father, and not my own. And thank you for an opportunity to preach this, because this message has been put off for a while. So thank you, Father, for that as well. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us through each and every day of our life, and the hedge of angels you always have about us, especially the hedge you got around Pastor Joe right now as he's either already there or on his way. Thank you for blessing him with travel mercies, as well as your words when he shares your truth with others out of state. And thank you for blessing him with a safe trip home as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Like I mentioned, I was actually going to share this message. Oh, man. I can't remember how many weeks ago I wrote this. When I was getting ready to share it, I was sick. I got sick, right? And then after that, we had the snowstorm. And then we got sick again or something. I can't remember. It's just like put off. And then each time that I was coming for me to preach, the Lord would give me a different message. This way, it looks like this is a week for it. So, creation glorifies the Creator. Now, lately, well, actually, all my life I've had this, where I've run across evolutionists, we've all run across them. But lately on Tel Talk or online and stuff like that, and even with the email, I've been getting inundated, even back then to this day, with them all trying to prove their, using their best methods, whatever they can, to try and prove that creationism is a joke and evolution is sound. Factors are laughable, because even with a baby Christ, you can see these things. You know, Scripture says that we are without excuse. We can look outside from the tree and realize that we have a Creator. Isaiah 40 verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things." And Proverbs says, "Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou couldst tell?" Men have always asked these questions. Where do we come from? What are our origins? And how did the universe begin? Now, I never really... the only question I think I can always remember myself, you know, thinking of when I was a kid is, why am I here? You know? And I didn't really care where I came from, because I'm always here. Who cares where you come from? But I've always questioned, like, how did the universe begin to some extent, when you try to think of, like, the one Scripture, because we don't have minds enough to be able to understand certain things in the Scriptures, and that is, like even Jesus said before he left, you are not able to bear certain truths. And then when Pentecost Sunday came, they got other truths. But certain things, like, in my Catholic upbringing, it was called the meaning of the ring. And the ring, you know, the ring has no beginning and no end. It just keeps going around in a circle. And of course, they matched that with paganism as well. But the thing is, I'm looking at the Scriptures say that the Father has no beginning and no ending. I can understand no ending. But with my little human brain, I can't fancy, you know, I can't even, how do you get to no beginning thing going on? You know, but we are not the question. It's, he does not lie. We have not ever seen this Creator lie. So what does the Bible teach in regards to these three questions that the people have had? Where did we come from? What are our origins? How did the universe begin? I'm always thinking something's wrong. I heard him moving around. So, and I understand that most of us here and online probably don't have a problem with this area. We understand. We are creationists. We understand. We believe in creationism. I understand that. But like the Nehemiah principle, bears repeating. But we may know someone who needs to hear these truths, and it would, you know, benefit us to hear, like, some other research that has been done in regards to this area. And I hope today's message you can use to evangelize, or someone is listening that can be blessed by it. And, okay, anyway, we know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And as the reading, I think today's reading was Jeremiah 32, 17, it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard from thee, for thee." From the very first verse of the scriptures, the question is settled once and for all that God is the almighty creator of the universe. Now, for those of us that have faith, we have no doubt. We say, okay, that said it, I believe it, that settles it. As you, we're going to go with that. And by the way, God, the God we worship is the only God. Think about this. He's the only God out of all the gods that are in the world that is claimed creator. Buddha hasn't done that. Muhammad, being a prophet, or now he's in God status now, the way they treat Muhammad. And Allah, they claim Allah to be the same God of Jews, they say. But their method of worship towards that Allah, or that God, does not come anywhere near what this, the God of the Jews is from the Old Testament. So that, and we also know about how they do have their idol worship anyway, involved in that that big square building. I can't remember the name of it, where they all go once a year to go and worship there. So no other gods that men worship have created anything, or even claimed to create anything. They've never said this. None of these gods have ever said this. So yet they're worshiped. You realize what this means? All these false gods are created by men who are created by the Creator. Case in point, Buddha was a man. Buddha was a man, and he is worshipped. Now they'll say they don't worship him, just like they say that, like with the Catholics, and that they say they don't worship Mary. But it's pretty obvious. Romans 1:25 says, it speaks to these people actually. It says, "Who change the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And you can go even farther into like astrology. Because the astrologers, they also worship like planets. They go by whatever the movement of the moon or the sun or the stars. Well, not the sun, ain't moving anywhere, I'm sorry. But another major feature of our God as being truly God. Ooh, that helps. I didn't even know that thing had a... Oh, there's not a dimmer, you just turned them on. Okay. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done, he commanded, and it stood fast." Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear." No man can claim to know how to create life without seeking the Creator first. No man can do this. I mean, sure, some scientists think that they can create life, but that's not the case. This reminds me of a story. Where this one scientist was in prayer or something to that effect and stating, "Look, God, we don't need you anymore. We can cure diseases without you now. We can clone, even though the clones don't really make it to any length of time for some reason. We can invent new things, creature comforts. We can make things without you. We can even stop some disasters. Or we can warn in advance of disasters like tornado warnings or whatnot." So the Lord says, "Fine, if you truly think you don't need me, then go ahead, create a life." Right? So the scientist bends over and picks up the scoop of dirt and starts heading towards the lab. The Lord says, "Wait a second, get your own dirt." Because that's more or less, he created the dirt too. There's a lot of people forget that. We are made by this, like this. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to mention to my friends, if I can go, because a man did this once, I read about it in Omni magazine, where he went into his backyard, got a half a tablespoon of dirt, and just let it sit around for a month or two in his house where it got really dried out, then he grind it down into a fine powder, put it in a little baggie. Then he took his toenails, flipped them off, and then ground those down into a fine powder, and brought both bags into a laboratory, and they both said both powders contain the same elements. And this guy was a scientist, because he knew that it comes out in your hair, it'll come out in your toenails, it'll come out in your teeth, whatever, kind of like gold or whatever you got in your body from the minerals that we have been created. So I thought that was pretty neat. Get your own dirt, though, so that's it's pretty good. So God created the universe by the absolute power of his word. He imagined the universe. Then he transformed the product of his imagination to reality that we now live in. Of course, the first day was the appearance of light. We all know the first day is light, and you got the firmament that was created, and in Genesis 1, most of it is, and then until you get to the Sabbath. But the firmament itself, I didn't have time to research this, but like in the videos where they're talking about the word firmament comes back as thin metal sheets in the Hebrew language. And science has just proven that the firmament, if you take hydrogen, and they did this in the scientific laboratory, if you take hydrogen and get it extremely cold, it'll solidify to metal. It'll actually become metal, like a honeycomb kind of, not like a honeycomb, but it's kind of like structure. And they showed this in where you can actually see through it, like gold, where you get gold so fine you can see through it. And they're saying the entire planet was surrounded by this firmament that kept the water up there that broke and fell on Noah's day. So, but I've got to, you know, that I thought was amazing about how we didn't, the scriptures would say that the Lord had a bunch of scaffolds out there and he's banging with a hammer and building, he just created it. And science can, well, thanks to prophecy being, and now it's being advanced according to Daniel 12, science can more or less get some of these understandings of how he did these things, of how the Lord did these things. Third day, the earth and the sea separated and the plants sprung up. Fourth day, the stars, the sun, and the moon are created. Fifth day, the birds and fish are created. Sixth day, the animals and man are created. And, of course, on the seventh day, he rests. And by the way, I saw with my own eyes on those videos, and I want to put this on my site, where they showed how God Almighty created light. Remember how the Word says he says, let there be light. He spoke. He said, let there be light. And before that, it says the earth was without form and void, which means it was a ball of water, and then the Lord spoke. I'm assuming he probably created the ball, you know, the sun when he did this. They got this on the videotape, on those creationist videos, where they got this glass of water, and it's a dark room, and they got this sonar cannon, and it's just shooting loud noise at the glass of water, and right in the middle of the water, a little bubble of air formed. They're using a night camera, and all of a sudden a little bubble of air started to glow. Loud noise bombarding that ball of water created light. So they proved that when God said, let there be light, science has proven that it happened, just like he said it happened. He spoke. And then it was rather loud, but a lot louder than the scientists could have done, because he just, you know, let there be light, he created a nuclear fusion factory that never burns out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Of course, this is speaking of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. We have no doubt that the Lord Jesus created the heaven and the earth, like I said earlier. What I ask is, can we prove, using science, at the same time prove scientists in error using their own science? Can we do this? Since we are in the last days, and since Daniel tells us the knowledge will be far advanced, not only scripturally speaking and prophetically speaking, but technologically speaking. So now why not use what we have to prove what we can see? For many years, scientists have claimed that the Bible was bogus. Remember how they used to say that Nebuchadnezzar never existed because they never found any evidence of him. And then years later, somebody excavates a bunch of bricks that have his name on it. Thousands of them. we got to get our shirt again. But it's stated in the Word that the fool hath said in his heart there is no God in Psalm 14:1. However, it's also stated in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the beginning of knowledge, depending upon it. King James says, knowledge, I keep remembering the dewy rains for the beginning of wisdom. Catholic Bible. Gotta get that one out of my head. It's only been 18 years. How powerful suggestions can be. In 1859, Charles Darwin developed the theory of evolution for obvious reasons. According to this theory, man is not the work of God's creation. He is rather the result of evolutionary changes which occurred at random over billions of years. And then not only creating life, it was giving birth to one form of life after another, after another, after another. Everything started in the primordial ooze with an amoeba or something, right? And then all these other species spun out from there. Now, that's an obvious open attack on the Creator. Even Sister White says, the warnings of the Word of God regarding the peril surrounding the Christian church belong to us today. As in the days of the apostles, men tried by tradition and philosophy to destroy faith in the Scriptures. So today, by the pleasing sentiments of higher criticism, evolution, spiritualism, theosophy, and pantheism, the enemy of righteousness is seeking to lead souls into forbidden planets. That's Acts of the Apostles 4:74. Satan uses evolution, among other things, to hide the truth. As we, you know, he's going to do whatever he can. Regardless of the fact that it's written in Genesis 1:25, this has to be one of the easiest verses to use to expose him. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God said that it was good. How can evolution explain adversely? That you can't. Not that there's no way. Reality proves them liars. The only way I can see them trying to explain their way out of it is to say, I don't believe it. That's a piece of, so they, just like what the church did with Sixmire stating it with the Usury of James, the burial box. So you can just turn around and say, I don't believe it. Walks away. And so everybody else follows them. They think that's all they got to do. Will they believe their own science, though? Because we can use our own science to prove to them that it, the Bible says after its own kind. It's not going to have a little amoeba come out of the water and you get a mud puppy over here and an elephant over there. You can't. A mud puppy is those little guppy little guys. No, I mean a mud walker. I was thinking of a little guy that walks on his fins from lake to lake. Because that's what they assume came out of the primordial ooze first, was a mud walker. He walks like this. That's why I'm doing that, okay? The ooze of space, we came from the ooze, right? And then we evolved from one species after another. And if that's true, then many modifications might have given birth to new races and new varieties. Problem with this theory is there's no proof of a new kind that has ever been created from a totally different kind. Like, for example, you can't, a cat is not going to evolve into a dog. A snake is not going to evolve into an elephant. And you're not going to see a fish evolving into a butterfly. This just doesn't happen. The stability among species from one generation to another was already described in Scripture after its time. After its time doesn't mean a man was first an amoeba, that becomes a fish, that becomes a monkey, becomes an ape, that becomes a man. Plus, scientists have just proven that a monkey and ape DNA don't match. They just proved it. Yet, some still believe it. You can see, like on Yahoo Messenger, they got a constant room open about evolution all the time. And that's why I made that one page on my site called Creation, Evidence for Creation. It was just, I did it for that room because I got sick of seeing it. I would go in every now and then just put the URL and leave because I don't even want to talk to those guys. If we can use DNA to prove who fathered a child, we can most assuredly use it to define who we came from as well. I'm going to ask this theme, Maury Povich. That's all he seems to do lately is to figure out who the babies are coming from. They're using DNA, in some cases, they can use DNA to define not only who the father is between complete strangers, but between brothers. They can actually, the DNA is so different from each human now, well, it's always been that way, that you can tell who the father is between brothers of a child. So couldn't we figure out who our ancestors were? You can't have it, you know, both ways. Plus, if DNA can tell me who my brother is, it must be able to tell me who I descend from. Like, would an ape have my DNA? No comment. So, if we really came from apes and monkeys, the DNA should say so. Plus, if we evolved from apes, why are apes still here? That is so simple right there. That is just so simple. I thought we evolved. Either a species evolves or it doesn't. You can't have it both ways because that's physically impossible. If a species is evolving from one to another, the older species is no longer viable. It can't survive in the environment. So a new evolution has to take place. Like with certain moths in the rainforest, depending upon the weather and if there's enough moss on the tree, they'll either be brown-winged or they'll evolve to a green wing or a white wing, whatever. That's not really evolution, but they're trying to use it as such. But that has to do with their surroundings. Like a chameleon will change its colors for the sake of survival so it doesn't get eaten. But
Evolution is such that the reason for evolution could be better suited for. The reason for evolution is the environment has changed, or the environment is such that you need to evolve. So, again, if we evolved from apes, how is it the ape is still here? Because if we evolved from apes because the environment wasn't suitable for the ape, it was more suitable for the human, how is it the ape can survive in our environment at the same time we do? That's evolution, though. But if he adapted, you know? So, our bodies can handle the same environment as their bodies. And plus, science has just proven DNA for an ape and DNA for a man do not match up. They've proven that a few years ago. So, since we now have better scientific knowledge, because of the prophecy of Daniel telling us we would, on top of having prophetic knowledge, do some scientists actually admit this truth today? I don't even know what time I started here. Okay. Albert Daugherty, these are all scientists. Albert Daugherty, Robert Boyle, Roger DuPasquier, I don't know, it's French, Jean Rostan, and Charles Darwin himself. Albert Daugherty says, until this day, we have to recognize that paleontology has not yet provided us with a link between man and animals. Robert Boyle says, the scientists cannot probe the secrets of the creation without perceiving the finger of God. There's a man with wisdom. The evolutionist theorizes, asserting the animal origin of man have never been since their emergence, doubted as early as today. And scientific circles that refuse to believe it have never had so many arguments against them. That's Roger Pasquier. We doubt as well that natural selection has been able, even with the immense duration of evolution, to create organs as complex as the brain, the eye, the ear, or higher vertebrates, says Gene Ronstadt. And Charles Darwin himself said, when I think about the eyeball, it gives me fever. He can't, I mean, that is something that cannot evolve. If you're saying evolution, then why is it the mudwalker had eyeballs? You know, if you're starting off with the eyeballs, how did they get there? I mean, do you need eyeballs in primordial ooze? So why is the mudwalker walking out of the mud? He needs the eyeballs now. So all of a sudden they just pop up? Makes no sense. Some still hold the ridiculous statements of evolution, though. Can't get around it. Education and Character, Ellen White, 227, page 3, says, in the study of science as generally pursued, there are dangers equally great. Evolution and its kindred errors are taught in schools of every grade from the kindergarten to the college. And they're still doing it today, from what I understand, right? I remember when I was a kid, they had the... And you know that, what is that, that thing where they show the ape and it walks like the guy comes down all the way before you know it, he's like dragging his knuckles and then he's upright man? The evolution chart. Every single one of those skeletal remains or whatever they use has already been proven to not have been as they thought. Like the one, the oldest man was actually the tooth of a pig and stuff like that. That one pig. But they still hold the theory of evolution. It's, you know, they're allowed to believe a lie. And guess who's leading the charge? In the religious realm. Yeah. Headline. Pope accepts theory of evolution. 1996, Reuters. Vatican City, October 24th, says, Pope John Paul has lent his support to the theory of evolution, proclaiming it's compatible with Christian faith and a step welcomed by scientists, but likely to raise hell from the religious right. Yeah, we're right, all right. Now, with the Pope making such ridiculous statements as that, it's, you know, you're going to expect the following with this one. From Charisma News, the headline reads, Evolutionist Professor's Religious Bigotry Attracts Federal Attention. Federal officials are investigating a Texas biology professor who refuses to write letters of recommendations for his students if they don't believe in evolution. University officials said that the school stands by Dinning, his name, D-I-N-I, and its policies do not conflict with those of Texas Tech, the Associated Press reported. Romans 1:22 openly states, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Literally. Even their main teacher of evolution confirms his confusion when it comes to the eye. And many other so-called scholars say the same thing about the ear and the brain and all the other parts, like the vertebrae, the network, or the way the nerves. I mean, you could prick your finger here and instantaneously your brain, I mean, they can't even do that with computers. Sure, you can get up to 3 gigahertz today, but scientists have, when they mapped the human brain, they found that if you learn something new every second of every day, it would take something like 50 million years to fill the human brain. And scientists just recently, about 2 years ago, figured out a way to use a biological agent as a memory, as a source of memory, like flesh. They're using it as a memory chip. It takes an immense amount of electricity because they just invented it, but I'm sure they'll get to a point where they'll, if the Lord tarries in this coming, we'd have, you know, artificial intelligence type things. So, scriptures confirm, Proverbs 20 verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them. I like that. As Charles Darwin and Gene Ronstadt noted, the complexity of the eye only suffices to destroy the theory of evolution. An organ so complex and delicate could not be the result of just happenstance or just coming out of the primordial ooze or whatever. Now, Job tells us that man was placed upon the earth. Man has been created by God, placed on the earth literally. He didn't crawl out of the ooze. And scientists have been infamous in this point that trying to delay this process of us learning this truth. Case in point, Galileo, who was ridiculed, even though he's right. If the religious authorities in his day knew about the orbit of the planet, they wouldn't have, or if they would have known about the scriptures better, they would have realized that Galileo wasn't a nut, that he was telling the truth. Job chapter 26 verse 7 says, it confirmed what Galileo was saying. He stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Because they thought it was flat for one thing, and everybody else revolved around us. A phenomenon that was denied for many centuries simply because man could not do it. That's the main reason for evolution, is because if we can't figure out how to do it, we have to give it another reason. Seriously, that's truly the only way, they seem to try to get around it. They couldn't figure it out, so that must be a lie. Yet today, discovery after discovery proves all these things, confirming that the Bible is the truth and the Creator is, in fact, no liar. Isaiah 40, verses 21 and 22 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You know, for thousands of years, the Bible has asserted that the planet was round. He sits upon the circle of the earth. But yet they all thought for years that it was flat. You could fall off the edge. You know, a friend of a famous astronomer, Copernicus, said that this whole universe thing was made by mistake. And so Copernicus, he builds this scale model of our solar system. Makes it real nice looking with the sun in the middle, and it's all this real good looking thing. And Copernicus's friend happens to step into the room after it's all gone, and he goes, wow, who made this beautiful scale model of the universe? This thing is beautiful. Who made it? Copernicus said, oh, it was made by accident. It just happened there. He said, no way. Somebody had to have made this. And I says, now, why is it you can believe that somebody made that, but yet you cannot believe that this universe was made? I mean, that boggles my mind how they get to that point sometimes. I like that, the way, you know, the way the guy played. I don't even know if Copernicus did that on purpose, but the thing is that the guy happened to walk in when that thing was done. Job 12, verses 7 and 9 says, but ask now the beasts, and they shall tell thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, as such as states in the scriptures, we are without excuse. Now the birds aren't going to talk to us, we understand this, but studying these animals and studying the world and studying the trees, we're going to find out who this creator is. I mean, the amazing instinct of animals. The fact that a monarch butterfly can go from, where is it, from the United States to like some island out of the Pacific or something, and they all, like millions of them are all over, and they do this every year, or the birds, the way they migrate, or the motherly instincts of a raccoon, any of this stuff. It's, how about the bee? The honeycomb. Who told them how to make that honeycomb? Or the royal jelly. Not the honey. The royal jelly. These bees know how to, what they do is they take the honey, and then some of the drones will spit in the honey to some extent, and then it turns this into a, and they let it ferment for a while, and it comes out, and it's royal jelly. What happens is, if a queen bee is dying or dead, they'll take the royal jelly, and they'll put the royal, a drop of the royal jelly in about 10 or 15 different little honeycomb things where the drones are being grown or in their pupa stage, and that royal jelly hits them, and they'll all become queens now. The problem is, the first one that comes out, she's the one. The rest that come out will be killed. Wrestled down and killed. Plus, I used to love to read encyclopedias, and you get stuck on stuff like this. A honeycomb, or rather a beehive, it could be 10 below zero outside, it could be 110 degrees outside, it's 75 degrees in a 70 to 75 degrees at all times inside a beehive. If it's too hot, the bees all turn their little butts towards the exit and start flapping their wings and suck the heat out. If it's too cold, they all run around inside and generate heat and heat it up. It's amazing how they do it. And it's an accident. It's all by accident. Roger Bacon wrote this. A little bit of science keeps away from God, but a lot of science brings you back to Him. You can see Him in it. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139:14. The complexity of the human brain, or just the human being itself. Scientists just can't even imagine. How could chance create a being like us that can reason, has thought, can do exploration, or love? How can a being evolve into a loving being, or a sentient being for that matter, to be able to say, I am here? Does a dog know they're here? I imagine they know they're here, but the thing is, they can't communicate, they can't, there's just certain things that certainly animals can't do, but a human being, there's things that we have done. We're made in the image of God. Now, I like what Dr. Carl Voss said, these creationist videos that I have at home, I guess I would. He said, to believe life was generated by chance is the same thing as saying a whirlwind could enter a junkyard at one end, and as it exited out the other side, it was a Boeing 747 manufactured in flight. he was actually saying that to show the odds against a single cell being created by accident, because a single cell has something like there was these little tiny little parts of the cell that had like a trillion of them in there, he said, and the odds against that was just phenomenal. Yeah, it is totally nonsensical. Total nonsense. Romans 1 verses 18-19 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I can see preachers doing that. They can hold the truth in unrighteousness. They can stand here like some of the TV preachers or even the regular everyday run-of-the-mill teachers. They preach from the Word of God in unrighteousness. They're standing on the pulpit in sin. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The Bible gives a warning to those who refuse to recognize the Creator God, in spite of how obvious His work is, especially if you call yourselves Christians. I want to jump right to there's actually dozens and dozens of these things in these videos. Well, actually, it's not just the videos, it's scientific research that proves every single aspect of evolution has been proven wrong. Every single one. I don't even know how long I've been up here, so. Does anybody know? I totally lost track of time. But I picked five of my favorites out of these. Now I'm going to read you the scientific explanation of what they're saying, then I'll put it in layman's terms to the best of my ability. But, yeah. There's actually dozens. At first I had 10 on here. And I thought that would be way too much, because it would take way too long to get through it. But think about this. If you only had, even if I didn't have five, if you only had one proof that evolution didn't work, it all would fall. All of it. I mean, how do they explain to this day? You know how they always say, like, the deeper it is, the older it must be? How do they explain that tree that they found buried straight up? They're saying the tree up here is 10,000 years old, but the trunk is 10 billion. And then they got mountains because of the flood of Noah and the great deep bursting forth. They've got in Texas. I can't remember the name of the place. But anyway, in Texas. Glen Rose. I guess the great deep burst forth near there, and the ground went like that. You know, it's boom, mountain. They got footprints running up the side of the mountain. So how do you date that? Well, that's a couple of minutes ago. That's going to happen any minute. You know, how do you do it if it's in that order? Here's the top five reasons evolution won't work. This is not from David Letterman's top 10. This is only top five. Number one, Dr. Thomas Barnes, Emeritus, professor of physics at the University of Texas at El Paso, has published a definite work in this field. Scientific observations since 1829 have shown that the Earth's magnetic field has been measurably decaying at an exponential rate, demonstrating its half-life to be approximately 1,400 years. In practical application, its strength, 20,000 years ago, would approximate that of a magnetic star. Under those conditions, many of the atoms necessary for life processes could not form. They can't find. They're being shot away. They're repelling because of the magnetic star. These data demonstrate that the Earth's entire history is young, within a few thousand years. In English, 20,000 years ago, the Earth's magnetic field was such that this planet was like a magnetic star when the Almighty created it, to some extent. This is what they're saying. If it was allowed, you know, if it was 20,000 years ago, we know this planet is, 6,000 years old? And they can't, and they'll say, well, there's no way. This is older. I says, well, Adam and Eve weren't created as infants. Adam and Eve were created with an apparent age. They were like teenagers, right? To some extent. But they were created with an apparent age. So this planet could be created with an apparent age. But if you take the evolutionist theories and say that they're correct, we're going to backtick. Looking at the magnetic structures of the planet now, go backwards now. And exponentially cause the magnetic field to come back now because it has been going away. Since 1829, they've been studying the magnetic polarity of our planet, and they noted that each and every year it's going away at this decay rate. They have the absolute decay rate now. They know how it's decaying. Jesus said years ago that there'll be famines, or rather, diseases and pestilences in our day. He didn't have to say it's because the magnetic field had gotten down to such a point that the iron in our blood doesn't move as it should because the magnetic field ain't there to generate that movement, and we can't heal ourselves of diseases. You're going to get mad cow, you're going to get the animal, like the deers and stuff, or get the mad deer disease. I don't think they're calling it mad deer, but they're calling it something where those deers just start, what do they call that? Because they just spaz out. But if you go by their standards, using their science, if you go back 20,000 years, even though the planet's only 6,000 years old, if you go back 20,000 years, we couldn't be here. No tree could be here. Nothing could be here because this place would have been a magnetic star. Now, with the firmament around the planet, the magnetic field would never decay. No? They don't realize this, but they're only backdating from the time of the flood. Because when the great deep burst forth and the windows of heaven were opened, the magnetic field, all plus they did scientific, the force field was gone. But they also did a chart with the magnetic going back with Galileo and all these other guys with their structure, or even back before the time of Christ, and they found that around the time of Christ, they got like on a scale how the magnetic field goes like from here and Noah's Day, gradually down, down, down. Jesus Christ shows up, Jesus Christ leaves. They went up and down. It was wild because of the polarity of the planet. Next one. So in other words, they're saying the planet is a billion years old, 6 billion years old, or these dinosaurs are walking around, 6 billion, and dinosaurs and man weren't together, even though there's footprints in Glen Rose, Texas, a footprint of a dinosaur with a man's footprint in it. And then footprints of a dinosaur, a cat paw, and a man walking in the same strata, the same amount of, you know, the same area that they dug down to. And they're not in each other, just next to each other and stuff. Plus, they also found footprints of men. But they don't want to talk about that. Because then it proves that Adam and Eve were as they should be. Huge. Huh? Yeah. Big. Huge. Or like the one finger that they found of a woman. with a, you know, this part of your finger, the digit, was like that. It's, you know, knuckle dragging. You know, like that one picture that I got on my Traceless website of the creation page. We got the guy standing there. He's 6'2". And then they got a drawing of a guy standing behind him, and his hands are down like this, and the man's hands of the drawing are just touching the top of his head, just barely. And there's a bone. It's the thigh bone of a man. It's not the thigh bone of a giraffe, as some people are saying, because they DNA'd it and all that stuff. But everybody says, oh, no, that's a giraffe. In other words, I don't believe it. It's that easy. Turn around and walk away. It's much easier to not believe. Actually, it's much easier to be a Christian than it is to... It's harder to prove evolution than it is to prove God. The next one. The biblical record clearly describes a global flood during Noah's day. Additionally, there were hundreds of flood traditions handed down from the cultures all over the world. Emmy Clark and Henry Voss have demonstrated the scientific validity of such a flood, providing the sedimentary layering we see on each and every comet and, or a continent, and they all match each other. Secular scholars reported very rapid sedimentation periods of great carbonate dispositions in the Earth's sedimentary layers. It is now possible to prove the historic reality of a biblical flood. Okay, English. We now have scientific proof that Noah's flood is here. Plus, Carl Ball, in this video, he has quotes from every like culture as time goes by. And he made it a point. It was kind of annoying because it took him like 5 straight minutes. No, I think like maybe 3 minutes straight. He mentioned, he had this big chart of all these names of these different cultures and countries or whatever. And he named each one. He says, each one of these cultures throughout history have mentioned a global flood. Each one. And he read. He just dragged it out, but it was a reason for dragging it out. You know? Plus, pillow lava. They found pillow lava on top of Mount Ararat. Not in Mount Ararat, as you would find it in geological standards where it would be thousands of, or billions of years. It was on the surface. Pillow lava. You know what pillow lava is? When a volcano erupts in our reality, out into the air, it's just going to shoot, you know, and you're going to get pumice on the ground, all this other stuff. But if a volcano erupts underwater, it cools. The lava comes out and cools quickly and causes these, looks like giant pillows. Real, it looks soft, but it's like a rock. I mean, you know. But it's pillow lava, it's called. On top of Mount Ararat, along with big old salt crystals from salt water in the ocean. Plus, Noah's Ark's up there. So that blows their theory out of the water there, too. Next one. Huh? I think it was something else that was in here, too. In the scriptures, it mentions pellets when the separation of the earth was occurring. That's when they're figuring the continent separated in the days of Peleg. The Peleg is mentioned in here. And I think it even alludes to the fact that that's when everything was happening and the separation going on. I wasn't actually using the word separation, but you know what I mean. Next one. I stopped numbering them. I think I'm on number 3, huh? Who cares? World population growth rate in recent times is about 2% per year. Practical application of growth rate throughout human history would be about half that number. Wars, disease, famine, etc., have wiped out approximately one-third of the population on an average of every 82 years, starting with 8 people, Noah's Ark, and applying these growth rates since the flood of Noah, about 4,500 years ago, would give a total human population at just under 6 billion when they did this calculation. Okay? So they backdated to Noah's day and figured that around this time, in the year 2000, we'll have 6 billion people. They did this in the 50s. Well, around the year 2000, we had 6 billion people. So their calculation is correct. It is correct. So, however, application on an evolutionary time scale runs into major difficulties, starting with one couple, Adam and Eve. Just one couple. If you backdate 41,000 years only, not billions and billions and billions of years like they say we've come from. If you just go back 41,000 years, just that, you'll have a total population on, you can't say on the planet because there's not enough room here. You'll have a total population of 2 times 10 to the power of 89. Do you know what that means? There's not enough room in the entire universe for all human bodies. standing close to, like this, next to each other, to the power of 10, you know, like for example, he was using an explanation that all the cells in the human body are, and there's trillions of them in our body, is like 2 times 5 to the power of 4. That's how many cells. And how many cells are, like, if you were to make every little atmospheric cell, like, that you breathe in the atmosphere from Pluto to Earth, or actually from Pluto to the Sun, would be 10 times 2 to the power of, say, 40. So that's how many. But if you go, and then when you start going up, like, to 41, it's like 10 galaxies. If you go to 42, it's like a million galaxies. It's just exponential, the way it just goes nuts. It's like you take $1 and double it every day. What is it, like within 30 days you got $1 million? That's exponentially jumping it up. But when you get to 10 to the power of 89, 2 times that to the power of 89, he was explaining on the video, he says, if you took every planet in the entire universe, that's including the Milky Way that you look up, looks like a cloud on a dark night in Indiana, looks like a cloud up there. You take every planet and you put people on there, shoulder to shoulder, and you take every star, every sun, every gaseous planet, and put a solid, you know, give them a solid structure for somebody to stand on, and put people on there too, you still would not have enough room in the universe for all the human beings that would be here in just 41,000 years. But they say, the evolutionists say, we've been here for billions of years. There's just no way. There's no way. Next one. Physicist Robert Gentry has reported isolated radio halos of polonium-214 and crystalline granite. The half-life of this element is 0.000164 seconds. To record the existence of the element in such a short time span, the granite must be in crystalline state instantaneously. This runs counter to evolutionary estimates of 300 million years for the granite to form. Okay, in English, this is my favorite. Underneath, I think it's the bedrock. Is it bedrock granite, or is it limestone? No, it could be limestone. It's too soft. So I'm assuming, like, underneath the dirt and the clay and the sand and all this crud, that right before you get to the magma and all this stuff, there's like an eggshell of our planet. Every now and then it cracks, and that's where you get lava. It comes up and shoves its way up and makes a mountain. But the pressure is so intense. Evolutionists say that granite shell, that eggshell on our planet, took 300 million years to crystallize and become hard. Because it took 300 million years, they're assuming, for it to go from a molten state to slowly soften and become its shell it is today. The problem with that theory is radioactive isotopes will leave evidence of their existence in something at all times. Whenever there's like even uranium or any kind of rock that has some kind of radioactive activity in it, when it finally dies off, when the radioactive isotope or whatever that's in here dies off, it will leave a shadow of itself. In this case, it was polonium-214. It will leave like a little circle, like a little gray circle, it looks like. And the time, and the only way it could form is that circle arrives at the time the granite is hard. When the granite is hard, this particular radioactive isotope can only live in its solid state for 0.000164 seconds, which means in the time you go, the entire planet had a hard granite core. When God said, let it be, let the hard ground appear, it happened. He didn't say, okay, let it start, I'll be back in 300 million years. He didn't do that. He said, let it be, and boom. And I mean, you can't, when that's a second, or like a tenth of a second, this is 0.000164 of a second. It's just, that's the half-life of the radio halos of polonium-214. That left a fingerprint proving that granite was formed instantaneously. And then the last one, I think, yeah, it's the human brain. It is the most complicated structure in the known universe. It contains over 100 billion cells, each with over 50,000 neurons connected to other brain cells. And that's why a lot of people think it's okay to drink. I just killed about 10,000 brain. You get up in the morning and says, yeah, I just killed 10,000. That's where you get the hangover from. And they don't grow back. When you kill a brain cell, it doesn't come back. You know, you always heard the jokes, you know, you kill 10,000 brain cells, and the rest of my brain cells are all at the funeral. So you're sitting there like, in the casino to be able to drink that way. But anyway, this structure receives over 100 million separate signals from the total human body every single second. Supercomputers can't do that. If we learn something, oh, here it is. Oh, he said 3 million. I thought it was 30 million. If we learn something new every second of our lives, it would take 3 million years to exhaust the capacity of the human brain. In addition to conscious thought, people can actually reason, anticipate consequences, and devise plans, all without knowing they are doing so. In English, evolutionists are not using a single cell of their human brains. If you think about it, they're not using a single cell, as far as I'm concerned. By your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for creating us and giving us this day. Each week, Father, you bless us with the seventh day, a day that we can recognize you as the creator and prove to the evolutionists that they're wrong. Thank you for giving us more Sabbaths, many, many, many more. And thank you for blessing us in eternity with keeping Sabbath. But that's what your word says. We'll be coming together on the Sabbath in the city to worship you. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for blessing us all with that.